Today's reading is in Matthew chapter 26, beginning in verse 47. Matthew 26, verse 47. While he was still speaking, Judas came, one of the 12, and with him a great crowd with swords and clubs from the chief priests and the elders of the people. Now the betrayer had given them a sign, saying, "The one I will kiss is the man, seize him." And he came up to Jesus at once and said, "Greetings, Rabbi," and he kissed him. Jesus said to him, "Friend, do what you came to do." Then they came up and laid hands on Jesus and seized him. And behold, one of those who were with Jesus stretched out his hand, drew his sword, and struck the servant of the high priest and cut off his ear. Then Jesus said to him, "Put your sword back into its place, for all who take the sword will perish by the sword. Do you think that I cannot appeal to my Father, and he will at once send me more than 12 legions of angels? But how then should the scripture be fulfilled that it must be so?" At that hour Jesus said to the crowds, "Have you come out as against a robber with swords and clubs to capture me? Day after day I sat in the temple teaching, and you did not seize me. But all this has taken place that the scriptures of the prophets might be fulfilled." Then all the disciples left him and fled. Then those who had seized Jesus led him to Caiaphas, the high priest, where the scribes and the elders had gathered. And Peter was following him at a distance, as far as the courtyard of the high priest, and going inside, he sat with the guards to see the end. Now the chief priests and the whole council were seeking false testimony against Jesus, that they might put him to death. But they found none, though many false witnesses came forward. At last two came forward and said, "This man said, 'I am able to destroy the temple of God and to rebuild it in 3 days.'" And the high priest stood up and said, "Have you no answer to make? What is it that these men testify against you?" But Jesus remained silent. And the high priest said to him, "I adjure you by the living God, tell us if you are the Christ, the Son of God." Jesus said to him, "You have said so. But I tell you, from now on you will see the Son of Man seated at the right hand of power and coming on the clouds of heaven." Then the high priest tore his robes and said, "He has uttered blasphemy. What further witnesses do we need? You have now heard his blasphemy. What is your judgment?" They answered, "He deserves death." Then they spit in his face and struck him, and some slapped him, saying, "Prophesy to us, you Christ. Who is it that struck you?" Now Peter was sitting outside in the courtyard, and a servant girl came up to him and said, "You also were with Jesus the Galilean." But he denied it before them all, saying, "I do not know what you mean." And when he went out to the entrance, another servant girl saw him, and she said to the bystanders, "This man was with Jesus of Nazareth." And again he denied it with an oath, "I do not know the man." After a while the bystanders came up and said to Peter, "Certainly you too are one of them, for your accent betrays you." Then he began to invoke a curse on himself and to swear, "I do not know the man," and immediately the rooster crowed. And Peter remembered the saying of Jesus, "Before the rooster crows, you will deny me 3 times." And he went out and wept bitterly. So Judas leads this group of men with swords and clubs out to arrest Jesus. And they do come as if they're arresting some dangerous criminal with these swords and these clubs. And I've always wondered what those officials, soldiers, however we'd like to term them, felt about this whole situation, showing up with all of these armaments to arrest Jesus, who's just in a garden praying. He's not armed. He's not doing anything. And even when one does raise his sword against them, Jesus tells him to put it up, that they are the things that must happen. So, especially after Jesus is crucified, I always just wonder if they had a real crisis of conscience over that. But that's just my curiosity. Curiosity sometimes gets the better of me on those things, and I dwell on them for a while. But Judas comes and gives him this kiss that was supposed to indicate who Jesus was. There's been plenty of opportunity to know who Jesus was, to recognize him. So this is a situation where maybe all of the soldiers haven't been around, they don't recognize him, or maybe it's just part of the show, you know, part of his betrayal. When Jesus does rebuke this show of force, pulling the sword out, cutting off the ear, He really wants them to understand that his kingdom is not going to spread by violence. His kingdom is going to spread by the good news of Jesus the Christ, the good news of his death, burial, and resurrection to bring that new covenant with God for all those that would take advantage of it. And he makes this statement, Do you think that I cannot appeal to my Father and he will at once send me more than 12 legions of angels? Just yesterday we sang the song 10,000 Angels. You know, he could have called 10,000 angels and prevented all of that happened, but he did not because he submitted to the will of the Father and the plan to save man. So after his arrest, he's taken to the home of the high priest, and Peter's following at a distance. And it's not sinking in with Peter what Jesus told him ahead of time, that number one, strike the shepherd and the sheep will scatter, and that's exactly what they did. And number two, that Peter would end up denying Jesus three times. So the servants begin to take notice of him. The first notice might have been just that, you know, there's somebody new here that's not normally here. But then apparently he's doing some talking because they start noticing the way he talks and his accent, those types of things. And so they say, you know, you were with Jesus. And then again in verse, well, first in verse 69, then again in verse 71, then in verse 73. Those three times, and the third one saying your accent betrays you, and Peter denies it each time. And as soon as that third time happens, that rooster crows, and he does then make the connection and remember that Jesus told him that he would deny him. And remember what Jesus said? No, never. That not me. That would never be me. Sometimes we think that something that is just, you know, incomprehensible for us, inconceivable rather, sorry, using the wrong word, but it's inconceivable to us that we would do such a thing. But in the heat of the moment, it's exactly what we end up doing. That's what Peter's doing here. It was inconceivable when Jesus was telling him, and now here it is happening, and he weeps bitterly. And in other accounts, we see that Jesus looked at him when that third denial happened. And that would have made it so much worse. So much worse. And so that should be a reminder that sometimes the pressure of this world is going to come down on us. How are we going to respond? How are we going to handle that? How are we going to buck up under that pressure? And when that pressure comes down, perhaps in some sort of form like it did with Peter, that it shows, you know, people are seeing that we're Christian. We should be proud of that and not ashamed of it. I don't know what led Peter to his denials. Maybe he was afraid that, you know, he would be arrested too. I don't know. I can't see into his mind because that's not been revealed to me. But I can look at myself and try to evaluate. Is there any situation where I might directly or indirectly deny Christ in order to avoid some sort of pressure in this world? And I would hope that our answer would be no, but the proof really is when it comes down to it, when it really happens to us. That's what happened with Peter. He thought, no, that's completely impossible for me to deny Jesus, yet that's exactly what he did. Let's confess Jesus and not deny Jesus. Jesus said, if you confess me before men, I will confess you to my Father. And that's exactly what we want him to do. Let's confess Jesus in the way that we live, the way that we talk, the way that we share the gospel of Jesus Christ. Thanks for listening today. God be with you. And I would ask that you continue in prayer that God will be with us all.